to call the meeting to order, and then we can officially start?
Sure. Reminder to the public that whatever is going on is being recorded. Are there any agenda, any items that the public would like to discuss that's not on the agenda? Seeing and hearing none, let's move into the meat of the agenda.
Okay, so you guys got the agreement that was written up, the new agreement that we're considering today between the Highlight Rural Fire District and Mountain Hot Tub. To answer Ken's question, so given that this one was a little more complex as far as we're exchanging no rent for a service being done, I felt most comfortable having basically a legal assistance in writing this. So Susan Swimley, who's the attorney we've utilized in the past, I reached out to her and she drafted the agreement that is presented to you.
But, quote unquote, our attorney?
Correct.
All right. She hasn't done many leases, has she?
I'm sorry, what was that, Ken?
She hasn't done many leases, has she?
I don't know as far as her experience in writing them.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of concerns, like, throughout the thing, in terms of the length used and what's in there, what's not in there. There should be other things in there, I think. And just from the document itself, I have issues with. I kind of don't, I don't want to pull up the deal, but I just have a lot of concerns about this lease form that I think we need to be better protected in it. I'm uncomfortable with many of the provisions in here, the way it's written and the way it's not written. It concerns me.
Okay. Well, I mean, we can discuss what's needed. As far as the lease terms, it was a little bit of a shot in the dark in Mountain Hot Tub so far as agreed to. this lease is essentially in effect starting today for not less than 1 year. And then it basically continues until terminated after that. And either party just needs to give a 90-day written notice that we're going to terminate the lease at that point. So it does kind of leave it somewhat open-ended.
My objection is not to the terms, not to your deal. I think the deal and the terms are fine. It's just the document itself. I don't like it very much.
What are some of the specific...
I never did solve the actual meets and bounds that she described here. I mean, the Exhibit A almost shows it better than whatever she's got in the description here for the amount of land that's being leased. The description is very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of essentially lawyer talk. So she just put the legal description of our lot.
Yeah, and that's not right, though, because we're only leasing them, the top 200 feet or whatever it is, closest to touch line. So, yeah, I looked to find the meets and bounds description of our parcel, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't even find the parcel map. The Montana parcel map system is down.
Of course it is.
What's that?
Of course it is. Just when you were looking for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I couldn't find stuff I wanted to find. It was driving me nuts. And I thought that this sounded like maybe it was the legal description of our entire parcel where the house is. The parcel where the rated fire station is a separate parcel. That's 5400 Foothill Road, and the parcel that houses, I think, 5370 Foothill Road.
That's correct.
Yeah, but we're not leasing on the whole parcel, and we kind of have the whole parcel back in here in the description, and that's kind of weird.
Well, and that's what Exhibit A kind of addresses, because the lease premises is a portion of the depicted on Exhibit A being a portion of the tract of land in the quitclaim deed, and then she puts the land description below that.
Yeah. So here's my deal, I guess, where I'm coming at. If we had to stand in front of a judge to communicate our contract, I don't think we'd do so well. You know, if a judge were to read that, I'm not sure that he would figure it out. We had, you know, I think, Carol, you know, when you have a document like this, you need to make sure that somebody else can read it, an impartial third party would be able to read it, say, yes, I understand what your agreement is, and I'm not sure that we could do this today. So, and it's not just that. I think that the insurance section needs to be cleaned up, and we need indemnification in case somebody gets hurt or something like that, those sorts of things. I think it needs to be tidied up a little bit.
What?
That these are, so it's written not like I'm used to seeing leases. I've only written a few hundred leases, and I realize it's by a different state, but it could be tidied up quite a bit.
So, I guess...
Somebody reading this would not be clear on what the deal is.
So what do you guys think? Should we send it back to Susan for her tune-up?
Well, I guess I'm wondering about... I guess I'm wondering, Ken, about your concerns about the indemnification. Where do you see the weaknesses in the indemnification?
None of this is written the way I'm used to saying it. And when I've done, I don't know, 700, 800, 900 leases in my career, I'm thinking that, you know, I'm used to seeing clauses written a certain way between, the, you know, the way the insurance is written up, indemnification, the use of the property, all these things are sort of strange.
Right, but if they're different, I mean, does it mean that there's a failure, though? I guess I'm looking at the indemnity language that's in there now, and I'm trying to see what specifically would be of concern.
Well, as I showed, I couldn't cut and paste last night an indemnification clause that I'm used to. I have one. I've got a sample lease form I was able to download last night that I've used in the past. But I wasn't able to cut paste and use that indemnification clause and that sort of thing. But it's so I have problems with the description of the premises, the insurance clause, the indemnification clause, and just actually the rent clause. I'm not sure. Did I miss something? Are they paying $500 a month?
Currently
they are. So under this new agreement, essentially what we're agreeing to is waiving their monthly fee in exchange for the work that's being done to improve the lot.
same. Again, it's usually done differently than this. If you're not picking $0 and cents in there.
Yeah, and we talked about just briefly here a minute ago of striking that out to take that.
I mean, there's such thing as free rent. Don't get me wrong, but there's a clause for that. That I have concern about. Normally you might make a dollar a month or something just because there's consideration involved. But there is free rent, which is a different thing, but you have a different contract clause for free rent. And free rent's common. But it's just written up differently. Am I making sense?
Well, I'm certainly not a lawyer.
I'm not a lawyer. But I do have access to, lease agreements that I'm used to, using and seeing. They're commercial lease agreements, mainly for geared towards industrial use, is what I'm used to, what I specialized in. And I've got a, like I said, I was able to download somehow a boilerplate lease form from the American Industrial Realtors Association. I can't cut and paste out of it. But it would give her an idea of strengthening, clarifying clauses in this lease agreement. But all I'm saying is, I've looked at a lot, done a lot of leases over the years, and this one doesn't look like one I've done.
Right, but I still go back to my question. I guess I'd still like to go back to my question about, even if the language looks different, if it's a different presentation, like specifically the indemnification language, I guess my question is, where do you see what specifically do you see as a weakness in the indemnification language?
It's just all different and not very specific, and it just kind of, it bothers me.
Well, and I guess I'll bring up, and I don't know, Ken, you kind of answered this question. So Susan, who's a standing attorney in Montana, wrote this agreement for us. And if we were called into question, we would obviously call her in to help through that legal process. So as far as, standing before a judge, if it would come to that, we would call it, kind of fall back upon her to say, you provided this lease agreement, now you basically need to defend it, essentially. Are you comfortable with that, or?
And I guess I would like to add, can I add one thing that Brian mentioned too? Susan Swimley has done a lot of work in this valley related to land development issues, and she's very well versed in law related to land development and real estate.
I think Ken, there's a difference between different language in leases that you're used to seeing and legal flaws. So if we're talking about just differences, then, I tend to follow along with Walt. I've known Susan Swindley for a long time. She's got an excellent reputation in this county.
has done a lot of work with fire districts and fire departments all over the state. And unless we can find a legal flaw, which of course we want to fix, just because a document is different doesn't necessarily mean it's flawed. And with that, I got to run, you guys, off to a meeting. So let me know. I'd like everyone to be comfortable, obviously, with what we're doing. So maybe there's some compromise we can come up with on this.
Well, I guess I would like to weigh in. If we are going to go back, we need to have something specific that we would like Susan to
right.
address. I mean, generalities just... I don't know that generalities would be very productive versus having something
right.
a specific concern. And I guess I don't know from that I see a specific concern.
I'm able to download. I have a copy of what I'm talking about. So I do have something I can email to everybody.
I mean, it would be kind of delaying the decision on this, but I mean, I can, if Ken, if you're interested, I can try to schedule a meeting with Susan to try to answer some of your questions.
Deal. I just don't like the lease, the form of the lease. It's just, it's strange.
Okay.
So, to the point where you're unwilling to support it then, I guess that part is not clear.
I support the transaction. I sort of don't support the lease.
We have to have both. we have to have an agreement.
No, you have to have 100% from everybody on everything, or what?
Well, if Pete's gone, we have to have a...
Yeah.
Well, I guess we have a quorum. If he votes against it and you two vote for it, it still would pass, mm-hmm. but...
Yeah, I mean, that is...
Sorry, I missed that.
Oh, it is... Brian said that from a voting standpoint. Did Pete actually leave then? Pete, are you gone? Yeah, so we have three Pete. We still have a quorum. And so we can still vote on an issue. And if you felt uncomfortable, you could vote in the nay. And I don't know what Jason's thoughts are. He hasn't weighed in yet.
I'm an enigma.
We know that. But you can have a 2-to-1 vote, or it could fail if Jason chose. Like I said, I don't know what Jason's thoughts are yet.
So, go for it, Jason. Talk to us.
This is where my pragmatic mind comes to. There's a couple things we need to strike, like that blank rent thing. I am a little interested in the liability limits because of some statutory stuff, but I'm not, it's a risk management piece, Ken. I don't see the risk on this. They're not putting a building up. We're not doing some of those sorts of things. We're gonna get in rent what they're gonna put in by removing the overburden and putting the mix down and all that sort of stuff. So I don't see the risk as terribly high on this, and I'm willing to just say it's not perfect, but let's get on with it. I would be interested with your experience mm-hmm. to look at a boilerplate lease agreement that we want to use that we can then push to Susan, and then we have a boilerplate for any future stuff or for the next round of this one, if that makes sense. But I mean, we called ourselves together for this, and I don't I don't see that the risk outweighs the benefit of just moving on with it at this point.
Yeah, for some reason, I was almost more comfortable with the first version, which I can't find right now. Carol, when did that first version get sent out?
The original lease? That is...
Yeah.
That...
I mean, that one seems easier and more simpler, and this one just seems stranger, but... any rate,
you're at a disadvantage too, Ken, because we all know Susan and know of her reputation and have worked with her extensively. So that puts you at a little disadvantage of that.
Correct. It does. But I'm just, so this one tells me Ken do this very much.
It's, right.
I think what it says to me. Because I ran into all kinds of attorneys, corporate attorneys, you know, from Dow Chemical Company to, you know, and I sat across the table with all these guys. And I'm used to seeing what they want in leases, what they don't want in leases, and that sort of thing. And that's why, I don't know, just flags going up for me. I don't want to kill the deal. I'm not trying to do that. I will say that the improvements that he's going to make, I don't know what the useful life of them is, especially for us. I don't think we're going to get anything out of it at the end of, you know, by the time we start building our building. But I think it's going to be gone. But, There's a little part of me, too, that wants it in there. It seems like it's worded such that if we did have an open house, you know, a Santa's open house at Ray for people to come in, you know, pancake breakfast, that there would be parking for a couple hours for that event. And I'm really all for promoting Ray Fire Station and the work that we have ahead of us. And so I think that would be a good thing for us. It seems like we can put some cards on it for a pancake breakfast the way it's written. I could be wrong, but it seemed like it was written such that we could do that. Does anybody agree with me?
Well, I think this lease does provide the right to enter the premise at any time.
Yeah, that's a given. It's just the fact that if we were going to have a pancake breakfast from 7 to 10 on Saturday, that we could probably do that. You know, with their cooperation, you know, obviously, too, just... It would be a cooperative deal where they know we're coming and we're doing it. They'll know something else because the sign we put up on the front of their property saying, this is where we're going to have the pancake breakfast in the Ricky Fire Station. But yeah, I'm looking for ways to promote what we have, the work that we have ahead of us. And I think that whatever they're doing on the improvements, they're not going to be there when we build.
I don't know that I would completely agree with that, because the overburden that's removed would be something, an engineering a process cost that we would incur in the course of developing that property. So when you haul all that overburden, would have to be hauled off, and so that's a cost that we would benefit from. And then with the trench being built and road mix being placed in that trench, 14, 15 inches deep, or however deep that is, that material, based on my experience, a large percentage of that material would be recoverable. And you could stockpile it on the side to be utilized in the rest of the project once the project was underway.
Yeah. All right, let's go for it and just... keep my fingers crossed, but...
So, I want to address JJ's one concern. If you could look at the rent in consideration, having that in... I'll explain again. The reason that there's a blank in there is because in exchange for rent, they're doing the $31,868 in improvements. Without an ending date on the lease term, there's really no way to equate that into a monthly value. Because that's going to consistently...
That's going to consistently change.
So, would you guys be comfortable if it said rent shall accrue hereunder from the commencement date and shall be credited at the value of the improvements, including cost of design, basically the rest of it? So we would get rid of at a monthly installment rate in the amount of would be eliminated.
Right, yeah, because you can't, yeah, the rate's a fluid thing, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that seems like that would make more sense.
So I would move for the adoption of that with that amendment.
Do I have a second?
So you're moving on the whole document?
Yeah.
Yes. I'll second JJ's motion, and then we can discuss it.
Good thing that's not the final version.
So Ken, on page 2, the third paragraph, talks about our access to that.
I know, it said something in there. And it's, yeah, I got it underlined over here.
Okay.
I printed it out and marked it up because it's kind of a ugly looking piece of paper right now.
And I just wanted to also bring up to you guys that so Susan had recommended that we reach out to the state DEQ to ensure that we are complying with stormwater runoff. So I did that. I called the state and explained to them the project. And basically what their reply was is that since this isn't a subdivision and there's no covenants for the property, that the state DEQ doesn't basically have a say in it. And they recommended that we contact Gallatin County, which I did, and the county had the same response, that it's not a part of an established subdivision and that there's no requirement. They, if you look a while back, I sent out the quote from the excavation company and the work being done. They did address drainage and it's sloping towards the mountain hot tub lot, or basically the low-lying area, basically conforming to the grade of the lot that was already there. It all sloped kind of towards that north end anyway. So that was a concern she had brought up, and that was kind of the answer I got.
Do we want to have a vote on the motion?
Yes, it'd be better.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Ken?
Sure. Yes, sure. Yeah, whatever. I'll go New Jersey here.
You're going Jersey on us?
Yeah.
I need to bring my wife in if we're going to do that, so we can fight fair.
Actually, I did come from New Jersey originally.
Okay, well, we got a two.
No. That's not a fair fight. I cannot end up with a Jersey girl. I was born in Burbank, and just make much of me.
Yeah. Well, I got a short heels girl, so.
Should we adjourn the meeting?
Doesn't matter.
Ah, okay.
Doesn't.
I think we're adjourned, Ken.